So I am Robert Prince, for those of you who don't know. I am one of the associate pastors here. And so I am so glad you're here tonight. And this is going to take a little bit of getting used to because I'm the one who makes these lights point where they're pointed. It feels totally different down here on a Wednesday night than it does up here on a Sunday. So it feels like I'm in the spotlight, even more so than normal. So, well, we're going to talk tonight about, we're going to start a new series actually calling Behold is the name of the series. If you were here on New Year's Eve, that's the name of my title from New Year's Eve on Sunday morning I preached. God kind of hijacked the message that I had that morning and turned it into Behold. And that was with about an hour of warning. I don't recommend that, but I also don't recommend being disobedient. So I was obedient, and I'm so thankful he did that, because it's really turning into so much more than just a sermon on New Year's Eve. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. We're going to talk about these journals and notebooks setting up on the stage here in just a little bit as well. And this is what I call my Behold journal, and I'm going to tell you more about it. But the first thing I want to do is what this Behold journal is for me, and I'm using my phone to weight it down because I know I talked a lot about phone on New Year's Eve. If you were here, just know that that's what I'm doing. It's a paperweight and a clock right now is all it is. So Behold journal for me, let me just read what I wrote. And so this is just for my notes of all different sorts. It says, Behold journal, my thoughts on the art and practice of beholding Christ, including scriptures and quotes from other authors. And so when I see a scripture that I really want to write down, a Behold scripture, or I hear a quote about beholding, or I have thoughts about beholding, it's going in my Behold journal. That's one of the things that we're going to talk about, and that's what my hope is for you with these, but you can use it for whatever you want. So I'm not going to hold you to that. It's not homework. I'm not going to check it every week or anything like that. But that is my hope, is that you'll want to start noticing more of God throughout your day and noticing how you can behold him more throughout your days and weeks, honestly. So there is a quote from Strahan Coleman, and it is, beholding is a life founded on the truth that no other offer on earth or in heaven is greater than that of simply staring into the eternal eyes of God and then seeing our world through them. I know that's long, so let me read it again. Beholding is a life founded on the truth that no other offer on earth or in heaven is greater than that of simply staring into the eternal eyes of God and then seeing our world through them. So as we behold Christ, the purpose, right, of beholding Christ is to become more like him, is to our character to be formed into the into Christ's character, right? For our soul, for our spirit, to be joined in unity with Christ's spirit. Okay, and so that's what beholding, and that's what we're going to be talking about quite a bit, is how, not only how we do that, but also why we do it, and talking about a whole lot of beholds in the Bible. As I mentioned on New Year's Eve, there's I'm going to be using a lot of quotes out of the English Standard Version. I love the NLT, which is what we generally use here at Grace Point Church. That's what's in the chairs in front of you, in some of the chairs. The NLT, they took behold out of that translation. Behold as a word is not in the New Living Translation. I don't believe it all. And so we're using the English Standard Version, ESV. And there's about, I think there's 1,098, I think is the number of beholds in the English Standard Version. Now, there's like a lot more than that in King James. There's over 1,100 in the New American Standard. And I think there's a few versions that have even 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 beholds. But it's whatever you like. But many of the versions translate behold as look or see or things like that. And that's great. It's contemporary language, right? But that does not hold the same weight as behold in my eyes. And I don't know that I ever would have noticed that until a few weeks ago when God gave me this message on New Year's Eve. And so one of the things that's done, so behold after that sermon on New Year's Eve, so this is a little bit of a testimony night tonight, so you're going to have to bear with me, but I'm also introducing the Behold series and what it's going to be over the next 12, 14, 15 weeks, if God so wills it. So New Year's Eve, that sermon series, or not sermon series, that sermon on New Year's Eve turned my, I had my word of the year chosen, or so I thought. My wife and I have been doing word of the years for 4, 5, 6 years. We do it individually, but oftentimes we'll do it as a couple. We'll use a different word as a couple, just kind of a focus for the year. And so I had already had my word chosen, I thought, for about a month prior to that. But as soon as I preached that service and talked to some friends, I realized that my word had to be behold. Because I have not been good at beholding Christ very well in my life the last, I don't know if I've ever been good at beholding Christ, I'll be honest. I've been in love with Christ. I've done what he's told me to do. I've walked with him closely. But beholding is so much more than that. And I'm starting to learn what that means. So I've been on this journey just for a few weeks. What does behold mean in my life? So this whole year, I'm going to be studying behold. Don't worry, unless God really does a crazy work, we're not going to be talking about behold every Wednesday night for the rest of the year. That's not the plan. I'm not sure Pastor and Jody would go for that either. But one of the things that, okay, beholding leads to worshiping, right? And so, but worshiping God also plays a part in beholding Christ. Because who knows, our actions lead our hearts sometimes, right? So when we choose an action of worshiping God, even when we don't feel like it at times, even when we feel like, just, I won't go there because I won't go there. Even when we don't feel like it, when we choose the action of worshiping God, in whatever the way that means for you, when we don't feel like we even want to be at church, when we don't feel like we want to turn on that worship song, we'd rather turn on some Guns N' Roses or AC/DC or Clint Black, Garth Brooks, whatever. I'm not saying any of those are bad. I'm a baby of five boys. All of my brothers are from the 70s and 80s, so I grew up on all that music. Plus, I grew up in the country of my own, so I worked at the same nightclub Garth Brooks met his first wife at. Actually, Tumbleweed in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State University. Woohoo! Go Pokes. Okay. That sermon led me to the word of the year 2024, which is behold. What you don't know is that that day was also the culmination of about 14 months worth of divine appointments that God had arranged in my life. And I'm not going to go over all 14 months with you tonight. But to kick off the series, I want to share with you my personal testimony of how God has been moving in my life. Because I think it's important to highlight the bullet points for you because it totally plays into where I'm at right now and what God did on New Year's Eve morning in my life. Is that okay if I share with you some testimony? What God's doing? What God's been doing? So 9 weeks ago, I found myself signed up for 3 days of in-person training with a person I had never heard of and with an organization I had never heard of. I'm not sure what it was that was so intriguing to me about this training, but it wouldn't take but just a few days to figure out why I was there. And honestly, my life would change in unexpected ways, in many unexpected ways. But before I get into how it changed my life, I need you to know more of God's setup, okay? So, 'twas the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and all through the house, not a soul was stirring. Oh, that's not the song, is it? But that's also not part of the story, sorry. The real story is that I was scrolling through my newsfeed. It was the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I ran across this ad for an overly energetic and overly dramatic blonde woman. But I was intrigued by what she was saying, and she was talking about an organization called Kingdom Speakers. I'd never heard of it. And the Kingdom Speakers Challenge was starting the next day. It was a 3-day challenge that this Kingdom Speakers was running. And I was just intrigued about it. And it was advertised as part business training, but also part speaker training. And why I was intrigued, I don't know, but there was a pull inside of me to investigate it a little bit more. So I had some availability that week. It was the week before Thanksgiving. I usually relaxed quite a bit that week, put lights on the house, got prepared for Christmas, all that good stuff, right? So I decided to sign up for it. In fact, I even bought the VIP upgrade, and I do that lots of times because I don't want to attend the trainings live, right? I want to be able to watch the recordings at my own pace. I don't want to have to be there when they're actually doing it. Well, before I could even leave the screen that said, thank you for your purchase, I felt God reminding me that I had availability that week and that I needed to commit to being there live. And all 3 days, morning and evening. And so VIP training also got you access to an evening training. So 2 trainings a day, 2 hours each, 3 days a week leading up to Thanksgiving. And so I was a little perturbed, if I'm being honest. At that point, I'd already paid the money for the VIP training so I wouldn't have to be there, right? Not live anyway. And God's answer was simple. He said, this is your priority this week. I want you in the room, undistracted. Because how many knows, when you watch stuff on video, you can pause and you can get interrupted because you know you can rewind and you just don't pay attention as well. At least that's true for me. So this is what I would later come to realize as being put in proximity of people, of God's message, of God's hope, restoration, healing, lots of different things. And so the training started the next day, so I attended live that very first morning, Monday morning, 10 a.m. But then I found out there was homework. I'm like, seriously, God? Are you kidding me? Now I'm going to be in training 4 hours a week, and you're going to have me doing homework? I was not happy. But I could also feel a stirring within my soul, and I could also feel that my soul was really thirsty, right? I was parched, and I didn't even realize it. And so even though I didn't recognize it at the time, divine appointments, I could have chosen to ignore that divine appointment. And I do believe it was a divine appointment. If we do, we may never know what we've missed in that divine appointment simply by not responding to that little nudge, right? Pastor talks about the nudge of the Spirit. We may never know what we'll miss by not responding to that nudge of the Spirit to be there live, in my case, every day. So here I was, signed up for 3 days of training with a person I'd never heard of, with an organization I'd never heard of, and I didn't even know why I was there, to be honest with you, still. But I was starting to wonder at that point, was this a divine appointment? I don't know that I put it into words, but my spirit felt like something's right about this interaction. Something's right about me being here at this moment in time. And so you've likely found yourself in a similar position, doing something you're not sure about with people you may not even know, and you just don't understand why you're there. And so I didn't know going in that I would be spending all of that time doing homework and video work and watching meetings and taking notes and all this stuff. And I think that's God's fault, because if I had, I probably would not have signed up for it, A, and I would not have bought the VIP on top of that, B, because I know a lot of times VIP just sets on my computer or sets it along. I forget I even have a login. I'm like, where do I even find that login anymore, you know? So throughout our first few sessions, there was lots of talk about God and even stories about how God had moved in people's lives, and not only the leader and the team running the organization or running the event, but also the people attending. So with part of the VIP, you got to attend via Zoom. So you were in the room, if you will, with the trainer and with her team and with about, I think there was about 30 other people that had upgraded to VIP. And then this challenge, the free part of the challenge, is you could just watch it on Facebook while it was live also, but you could also go in and even watch it for about 2 weeks afterwards. So even though I could feel something stirring within, instead of celebrating the move of God, because we were hearing testimonies. Again, this is business training and speaker training, right? That's what this is advertised in. But we're hearing testimonies of God already. So even though I could feel something within, instead of celebrating what God was doing, I was questioning what God was doing and really questioning the move of God. And so I was skeptical of this leader, to be sure, but also some of the people in attendance and their bold faith, right? Maybe you've had similar thoughts, but here's the thing. I'm a pastor, right? I should not have been having such a hard time believing God was moving in these people's lives like that. And so I felt a little bit of a shame sometimes. I felt like a fraud in many ways during that time. So as we were going in Tuesday night, this was our fourth session of the challenge. As we were going into Tuesday night, I was on guard, and I'm not sure why, but I was just guarding my heart, guarding my spirit. But I could also feel God again. With every meeting, I could feel God loosening some hardness around my heart, hardness that I didn't even know I had, and it was a surprise that I was discovering, to be honest with you. Again, I couldn't put words to it at the time, but God was starting to reveal a cynicism in me that I didn't even know was there, and that I didn't even know had developed over the course of several years, honestly. And it had become part of my default response to life, to people, to loved ones even at times, even to God. Cynicism, right? Cynical of God. So to make a long story a little shorter, by the end of that night, we had gone to church. This is Tuesday night again. I'm reminding you one more time. This is speaker training and business training. But by the end of Tuesday night, we had gone to church. I mean, there had been prayer. There had been healing. There had been testimony. There was praise and worship. People were dancing on screen, you know, in their Zoom meetings and on with their Zoom cameras and all that stuff. And I was more than a little surprised by the work God was doing in me. I mean, at that point, okay, let's just say I loved God. I hope y'all don't question that, but some of you don't know me, so maybe you do. I love people, and I had a deepening faith even, especially the prior few months. For various reasons, I had been seeking just some help in developing a deeper faith, because sometimes, you know, we can stagnate. We can read the Bible, and we can pray, and we can do the right things, but we just aren't relating to God as deeply as we would like. And so I was growing deeply in my faith, I feel like, even up to that point. So I was asking myself, could I really have this much going on deep down inside and be doubting the move of God so deeply that I didn't even realize it? Have you experienced that, right? You're walking along and kind of just out of the blue, you're thinking everything is good, and then you're seeking him, you're spending time with him, responding to him, and then wham, all of a sudden, you're questioning, like, what is going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling cynical and skeptical? Why am I doubting God? Why am I doubting God's ability or his desire to do this thing? Well, to say that I was experiencing some conviction would be a light word to use. But that's where I was, and it did sting a little bit because I was feeling God's conviction. I was feeling a little correction coming, a little discipline coming, and it was starting to sting a little bit. But even though I could feel the sting from this recognition of doubting God and doubting his movement and even correction, I was also experiencing an unmistakable love. It was warm. He was holding me in just a warm hug. It was a comfort. It was peace and even joy because he was seeing me, right? He was teaching me. He was listening to the desires of my heart, desires at that point I didn't even know I had had. And I was being loved even in the midst of this chiseling, right? When you see a sculptor or hear about a sculptor chiseling on the piece that they're working on, wood or stone or whatever it is. So I could feel God's chiseling happening inside of me, but I could also feel his hug, his loving arms surrounding me. And it's hard to explain, but it was probably the most cared for moment in the last several years in my life, even in the midst of the chiseling and even in the midst of the correction. It was unmistakable. It was godly, full of warmth, kindness, and generosity. Hebrews 12, 5 through 7 says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves.' As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children." Divine discipline. First off, God's discipline, first and foremost, is loving, right? His correction is loving. That's why he does it. And so I think the main reason I was surprised by all of this correction, though, is because I was becoming desensitized to people. I was becoming desensitized to God, and not necessarily his ability to move in my life, but I said it a moment ago, maybe his desire to move in my life. I never doubted his ability. He's God. I never doubted that. But I did doubt his desire to move in my life. I did doubt his desire to move in my friend's life and in my family's life, my colleagues, maybe even your lives. I don't know. To be honest, if I'm just being honest. Now, let me clarify also, this is in the moment. You know, I don't really, because I know God, I've been walking with him for 25-ish years now. I've been trying to think of how long we've been married, because I recommitted my life to Christ just a month or two before we got married. But now I've told him myself because I couldn't remember, so she'll get me on that later. So we must be tuned in. So that divine discipline, right? So we must be tuned in and sensitive to catch that divine correction, to catch that divine discipline, if we are to become who we created to be. And so let me say it a little more clearly. We must be tuned in and sensitive to divine correction if we are to become who we are created to be. We don't like it. We don't like being corrected. We don't like being disciplined in the moment. But man, who'd be better to be corrected and disciplined by than God, than a loving God that is doing it for your good? There's lots of times I got corrected by my earthly father and I doubted his love for me, I'll be honest. And I'm sure he doubted my love for him many times as well. And so as we're talking about beholding, part of learning to behold Christ is learning to accept his love, even if it is in correction, even if it comes through correction and discipline. Okay, Proverbs 1:23 says, "If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you." But here's the thing. Even in correction, I knew something miraculous was happening inside of me. Not only was God working on my heart and attitude, but I also felt a reawakening of dreams that I thought long dead, honestly. I thought they had been long dead. Parker Palmer has a quote. It says, "The soul speaks only under quiet, inviting, and trustworthy conditions." You see, I had been putting myself in quiet, inviting, and trustworthy conditions. And so I mentioned 14 months earlier, right? I was invited into a group of people journeying with each other for about 12 months in a group, just learning to deepen their walk with God through studying heroes of the faith, giants of the faith. And so that was about 14 months from now. 14 months ago, whatever. Okay, so that was one thing. And then about May of last year, I had subscribed to a newsletter that came with some soul care sessions. And basically, it's just private sessions with somebody to talk about your spiritual walk, to talk about spiritual practices. How are you deepening your walk with Christ? But it also was a lot of reflection. It also was a lot of searching, right? Digging deep. Figuring out what's inside of me, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. And so I'd been putting myself in these places, and the Holy Spirit knew I was in a place to receive, I feel like. The Holy Spirit knew I was in a place to receive and where I felt safe. But had I not been putting myself in that quiet and trustworthy conditions and in those places, I don't think I would have been. And so while I was skeptical and even cynical, I was starting to realize, there were also people I knew and trusted where I felt very seen, heard, and understood. And so the speaker training and business training that I thought I was attending really was turning into kingdom training. And it wasn't just for me. It was for everybody there. I mean, we were all coming out of there with testimonies and of what God was doing in our life and how he was moving in our life, how he was disciplining us, how he was loving us. Not all of us got disciplined, but all of us got loved on for sure. And so I told you earlier, I was a little perturbed that I had bought the VIP upgrade. And so, and the reason I had done that, but God told me I needed to be in the room undistracted. And so God wanted me tuned in to his movement. He wanted me tuned in to him and his spirit in a way that I wouldn't have been otherwise. And so he also wanted me to experience deep revelation. And if I would not have been tuned in, if I'd have been distracted by my phone or by my wife or by other things because I was watching a recorded video, I wouldn't have experienced that deep revelation. So what is skepticism and cynicism? Because I've talked a lot about that, right? Skepticism and cynicism is really all about trust, right? I don't trust that person. That's why I'm skeptical of them. Or maybe I even distrust them. Maybe that's why I'm cynical of them. You can't behold in distrust. Okay, you can't behold Christ if you don't trust him. And you definitely can't behold Christ if you distrust him, right? There's different levels. It's one thing not trusting somebody. It's one thing to have distrust with somebody. So God putting me in proximity to his people and MOVE had really orchestrated, this business training would also mean proximity to his blessings and deep revelation. And so he was gently nudging me, asking me really if I was ready for this next level of trust. And so one of the things you need to understand for this to make a little bit more sense is that a few months earlier, God had started really revealing a lack of trust on my part. So I told you back in May, I'd started subscribing to a newsletter and it came with soul care sessions. Well, back in September, I started seeing what's called a spiritual director. And I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But from that very first meeting with the spiritual director, God started prompting me that I was not trusting him. And I was like, where's this coming from? Because I had not even thought about that at that point. I had not been convicted of that. I had no thoughts of distrust or not trusting God or anything like that. So this was in September. Now, because I know spiritual direction, that term is probably new for some of you, I want to explain it. It's simply a safe space to process what God is doing in your life with another person. That person's sole purpose is to be tuned into you and also tuned into the Holy Spirit. And that's really to help you recognize God's move in your life. It allows place for curiosity, right? So as a spiritual director reflected back at me, these questions, these thoughts, these little words that I was saying and that she had caught a hold of, and then reflected back to me, I was like, ooh, wow, what is that? What is underneath that? Why am I feeling that or why am I saying that? And so through that, that became a place where both of us submitted to the movement of God, and where her listening without an agenda, just to reflect what I was saying, helped direct my relationship with God. And so a simpler definition is this. A spiritual director is a person who holds a prayerful space for someone else to help them discern what God is up to in and around them, right? That's really what a spiritual director is. So, well, I had been intrigued by spiritual direction for quite a while and felt called to explore it for several years and never had done it. And I finally got involved with one in September. That's when God revealed that I was having some trust problems. And so, like I said earlier, not necessarily a lack of trust that he could do certain things, but trusting that he would desire to do such things in my life specifically. And so I don't think it starts out, you know, you don't just go from trusting to lack of trust. I think it slowly happens over time, you know? Just like you can't see the changes happening in your body when you're trying to lose weight or when you're exercising well, or you can't see the changes in your spirit and in your mind as you're reading the Word of God daily. You can't see those changes daily. But you see somebody 3 months later who hasn't seen you in 3 months, they notice changes, right? Same thing happens here. And so the core issue with some of these doubts and questions for me was specifically a lack of trust. And that was being revealed to me in that first meeting with the spiritual director. But God is faithful and just, and he won't leave us where we are. How many of us know that? Philippians 1:6 says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, what was happening in November, just a few months after that first revelation that I wasn't trusting God, was a next level of discipline for me. It was a next level of course correction that God had in store for me. And so through this, I'm gonna skip some of this because I'm running out of time. So through this whole process, I really wanted to get plugged into this academy, a training academy, really. It's 90 days training academy that was being presented for purchase. Rebecca and I didn't have the money, and it's one of those things that you like, this is not something that we can invest in right now. We probably could have made it work, but we had decided and we had prayed about it, we had talked about it. We didn't want to make it work. If this was God's thing, we wanted him to work it out. And so we came up with this little offer, and after about a week, I presented it to them of trading, right? We're both artists. I'm a ceramics person. She's a visual artist. We have artwork. I'm like, hey, maybe we can work out a trade, but I also have a lot of skills, and my wife has a lot of skills. Maybe you need some work done for the company, for the ministry. So I presented that offer. Crickets. For 9 days, nothing. So we go on vacation that next Wednesday for about 3 days, actually that next Tuesday for about 9 days. And I was reading a book, and God used this book to remind me of James 4:2. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." I don't know how many times I've heard that verse. I don't know how many times I've read that verse. And I'll admit my prayer life is probably based on the influence of my earthly father. And I started thinking about this as I was prepping this message. I don't say that to release my responsibility by any means, but as a reminder to myself. My dad asked, when Rebecca and I decided to move to Dallas, my dad asked me why we were moving. He actually just asked about the decision, and this was right before we moved. But we also knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was calling us to Dallas. So in response to his question, I played Jesus. I asked him a question. I was like, "Dad, have you prayed about it?" He said, "No." And so, I don't know about you, but asking your dad a question like that, this was the first time I remember ever asking him a question like that, and it was a little awkward. But it wasn't long before my dad answered that he had not prayed about it. So I asked him why not, and he basically responded that he didn't feel like that was something he needed to pray about. He said that God knew his heart better than he knew his own, and he knew that what he was thinking and how he was feeling, God did, knew how my dad was feeling and thinking. So he didn't believe he had to pray about those things. And so I can look back at much of my life and see that I've acted much the same way. But God says differently in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In that verse, we're instructed, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." Amen. So if we're honest, how many of us feel that kind of peace ever? And you don't have to answer, but I wonder if it's because of what Paul's connecting this passage to also, right? When we behold God, when we stand in awe, when we stand in reverence of God, when we worship the God of the universe, the God that made John shout, "Behold, the Lamb of God," right? Behold, the person you're looking for, because in John 1:29, he's talking to the Pharisees, right? They've been questioning him about who he is. And the next day, he sees Jesus walking, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So he's saying, this is the person you're looking for. This is the person you've been waiting for. You've been asking me about. Behold, see him right now. Pay attention. And so when we trust that much, then peace comes more naturally. That peace that we're hearing about right there. Trust comes more naturally. And that's why I'm excited about this series, because as I'm studying it, I'm becoming, but I'm also learning to behold like I never have before. And so, 7:49. We're going to get to a little bit more of this next week, so we're just going to have to wrap it up pretty quickly. But I do want to say, who knows, a lack of prayer life can point to a lack of trust. I said it on New Year's Eve, right? We come up for reasons why we don't spend time in prayer. I don't have time to spend 15 minutes in prayer, so I don't spend any time in prayer. But what if we trusted God to hear us even for 60 seconds or even while we're driving to work and we have to keep our eyes open because we're on the road? It's okay. I said it that day. It's okay for us to pray while our eyes are open. God doesn't mind. He wants to be in communion with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. So we go on vacation. Friday night, we're on our way back home. I still haven't heard anything, right? Crickets. This is 9 days later from presenting this offer, and I'm like, oh man, I've offended her. Summer Day, by the way, is the lady, that weird, overly animated blonde that I referred to earlier. Summer Day is her name. I'm like, I offended her. But we're about halfway home. We stop at a Taco Bell for lunch, and as I'm getting my food from the counter, I get a voicemail and a text message. I'm like, what in the world? So I get to the table, I look, the text message come after the voicemail, and it said, "Listen to that message ASAP." And I'm like, okay, so what do? I start listening. So it is summer day. We had just stopped for lunch, like I said. So I listened to that message, and lo and behold, it's her. And no pun intended. By the way, lo and behold, that comes from the same behold. So when we say lo and behold, which you don't hear that very often either, but it comes from kind of the same thing. That's a different thing. Let's talk about that later. So anyway, Summer had just gotten back into town. She had been gone for 8 or 9 days on business trips to LA and to Florida. And they had missed the text message. They had missed the voicemail. Two different systems, they had missed it. They were just having a team meeting. And so she was very appreciative. She was not offended at all. She appreciated my tenacity to want to work something out. You see, I told her, I honored her. I told her I knew the value was there for the money she was charging. In fact, the value was much more than she was charging, and I knew that. But it's not something that Rebecca and I felt like we could do at that point. We didn't want to make happen. And so she said, yeah, let's do it. Let's work something out. So she then, this thing, Academy I wanted to get in, came with a ticket to an in-person event that following week or 2 weeks later. Actually, yeah, it was the following week. And that was a $2,500 ticket. But it was included in the Academy that I was trying to get into. So she's like, just plan on being there Wednesday. This was on Friday, the before. Plan on being there Wednesday. We'll work something out after the fact, but just plan on being there. You can start working some of the hours off or something. So I'm like, okay, great. No big deal. So again, right, we're talking about beholding. We're talking about trusting. We're talking about walking in trust with God and letting him direct our steps. So this was, I go to the event, man, God just moves like crazy. It's even like revival breaking out in speaker training with even professional speakers on the screen via Zoom. And we had professional speakers in the auditorium with us. It was just a crazy move of God going on. So I knew we were working something out, but I had no idea what. And so instead of joining the Academy, I decided I wanted to do this other thing, which is a 12-month mastermind. And so I'm going to speed through this real quickly. And so that was more money and more time or more trade, whatever that was. But they basically said, we'll work something out. We'll figure something out. So about New Year's Day or 2 or 3 days after New Year's, of course, they leave for 17 days for holiday and family and all that stuff. My wife asked me, how are you so calm about this? Because this is not something I'm calm about. I'm like, let's figure this out. What am I going to owe you, right? How many hours am I going to owe you? Do I need to come up with some money on top of this? God, how are you going to figure this thing out? And I was just like, it's fine. Got to work it out. I don't care. This is a totally different person, right, than she's used to. I'm figuring the things out. I want details. So I probably digress a little bit there. But you see, after I listened to that message the first time, I replayed it on speakerphone for Rebecca to hear it. And I was still dumbfounded. I wasn't amazed. I was just standing in amazement. And so, but here's Rebecca. She just has this little snicker on her lips and kind of a glimmer in her eye. And I'm like, why is she making this face? And she's like giddy almost. And so after that voicemail gets through, remember James 4:2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Well, that very morning, so she has a prayer app where she enters all her prayer things, and it prompts her daily for different things. I was her prompt that morning, so she was to pray about me, and she prayed about that very specific thing. God, we know you want Robert in this program. We don't know what that looks like, but you do. We can make it happen, but we don't think you want us to make it happen. We want you to make it happen. That's why she was so giddy and had all this kind of weird face going on. Like she knew exactly what was going on because she had just spent in time with God in prayer for a specific request for me. So there's power in prayer, people. There's power in prayer for your spouse, for your children, for your colleagues, for your family, for your parents. I was the beneficiary of her prayers that day. And even since then and now for this next 12 months, because I'm in that mastermind and I'm walking the next 12 months with these people that are full of God and full of the Holy Spirit and are deepening my faith and that I'm helping deepen their faith. And we're changing the kingdom for God, just like all of you are. That's our mandate, right, is to influence the kingdom of God. Okay, so Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This has been one of the key verses in my life for the last 25 years. And, you know, I try to walk uprightly. I try to walk blamelessly. And as I do, he's going to light my path, but he's also going to protect me, right, from the arrows of the enemy. He's going to, it says right there, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I'm not perfect, nor even close, like you all know, and none of you are also, none of us are. But as we seek him through prayer and relationship, we seek his wisdom, provision. He is our sun and shield. He's going to light our way, and he's going to protect our way, okay? And so, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's not our wish list, right? That's not the things we require, we want. The things we need. James 1:17 tells us, every good thing given and every perfect gift is given from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens. Listen, I know I've covered a lot of ground tonight. Part testimony, part behold, part lots of other stuff, part prayer. And we're going to get into more of behold and how we learn to behold and how we start beholding Christ on a daily basis or a weekly basis. Because it's baby steps, right? We start taking steps. We say all the time right here at Grace Point Church, taking your next right step in Christ. That's all we can do is take the next right step. So, again, we cannot behold out of distrust or even lack of trust, but we have to pay attention. We must recognize the move of God. We must recognize God and his blessings. And so I want to urge you to put yourself in quiet and inviting and trustworthy conditions, spaces that God can start working on your inner life. God can start working on your soul in ways that he can't do otherwise. He wants you to learn to behold him even as he beholds you, right? He takes pleasure in me beholding him, but he's already beholding me. He created us. He loves us that much. He holds us in his gaze, and he wants us to do the same thing. Before I pray, I want to talk about, as I've said before, there's 700, 1,000, 1,500 times behold is mentioned in the Bible. We're not going to cover all of those, thankfully, because that is way too many. But there are very unique things, right? Sometimes behold is used to introduce miracles. Sometimes behold is used to introduce people. Sometimes behold is used to recognize, saying, recognize what's going on right here in this situation. And so we're going to be looking at those uses of behold in the Bible. And hopefully we will start seeing how that plays out in our own life, how it starts playing out in our days and in our actions with our spouses and in our interactions with our neighbors, our colleagues, with those at church, how we're able to encourage people, right? Hopefully somebody comes up and says, behold, Victoria, she is influencing me for the kingdom of God. So that's what the next, that's what the rest of this series is going to be about. We're going to start diving deep into those specific areas and really just learning to stand up, right? Behold, stand up, pay attention, get involved, look at me, look at what's going on, recognize what's happening right here, because so often we do not recognize the move of God simply because we're not paying attention. We're not doing it intentionally. We're not being intentional about identifying where God is moving in our life. We're not being intentional about seeing him like he sees us. So that's what we're going to be talking about as we move forward. So I was going to have you to end. I was going to have you listen to a song, but I'm going to post this link on the Facebook page tonight. So if you're interested in this link, I just want you to go home. It's a 6-minute music video off of YouTube. You will have to go to the Grace Point page because, you know, Grace Point, you know, Facebook, they don't like sending stuff out that's not their own. So when you post stuff from YouTube, they don't like showing that people. So you're going to have to go look on your own. But I'll post that before I go to bed tonight, and you can go watch it. It's by Andrew Peterson, Behold the Lamb of God. And I just want you to, when you're listening to it, I just want you to set in God's presence and absorb it. I want you to adore Christ through the music and through the words that's being sung to you, through the words that you can sing to Christ. And let that speak to you about how we can behold God more in our daily lives. So I urge you to look that up. And you don't even have to have a Facebook account. For those of you who don't have Facebook, you can still go to facebook.com/mygracepoint. Even if you don't have a Facebook account, when it pops up for the login, you can click out the X and then you'll be able to see it. That's the great thing about having a business account or a church account or something like that and not a personal profile. So, okay, I'm out of time. I got to go. Now I know how Jody runs over almost every week. And she's back there. I didn't even realize it until just a moment ago, until I tried said that. Now she's sitting in the spotlight. Oh, Father, we just come to you tonight and we thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord doesn't mind me interrupting and stopping. All of these journals, there's different colors. So this is a Behold journal. I got mine as a gift, so it's more expensive. I'm sorry, I couldn't afford those. But I could afford these. These are still nice. Come and take one. Come and take your favorite one. Start tracking how you're beholding Christ, how you're seeing Christ move in your days, in your prayer time, in your reading time, in your conversations with people. So that's what this is for. You can use it for anything you want. My hope is that you use it to take notes on beholding. So, okay, Father, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing, for the way you're moving in our life, the way you're instructing us. Lord, the way you're leading us to grow deeper and closer to you, Father, because that's what we want to do, Father. We're here because we want to learn more about you. We want to follow you more closely. And Lord, as we do that, we want to impact your kingdom. We want to impact your people. We want to lead people to you. We want to lead people not only to you, Father, but into deeper relationship with you, God. And so, Father, as we leave here today, I just ask that you just bless us all, Father, to help us glorify you. Help us to shine your light, Father, and be your salt in this earthly realm, in this world, Lord, that needs your message of hope and your message of love, God. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all.